Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1321. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for our 19th season, aka 19th year of Gamertag Radio, we have my co-host, Pete. What's up, Pete?
What's up? It's like you said, like 19 years, and obviously that's a Danny and Nano thing, but you know, and I came in a few years afterwards, but to know that I've been along on this ride, and I know we all wax poetic every once in a while about the history of the show, but it's just amazing to be a part of this whole thing. Like it's when people ask me, oh, what do you do on the side? I almost don't talk about it, right? I'm almost like the worst networking person in the world outside of a computer network, because I don't, and I don't know why. And maybe it's just because I've got social anxiety or whatever. But like it's, and I should, you know, be screaming this from the heavens. But it's just, it's just wild to see how the podcast has grown and exploded over the years from you and Nano on a shoestring budget, like literally like $20 on dollar burgers.
Oh, even less than that for the launch of the show.
On dollar burgers at E3 to now, look, man, you driving a Tesla, you got a house. You're doing all right, bro. You know, so and you know, that's not just a testament to the hard work, but it's also the testament to our fans and the community to stick by us through the years, through the co-hosts and everything. The ups, the downs, whether you know we've been sharing them with those of us on the show, or we've been sharing it with the fans, or those that we've kept internal. It's remarkable, and I'm thankful to just be a part of it.
Nah, it's been a great, great journey, man. And I can't wait for, you know, here's the thing. My goal for this year is I want to do new things. And I've been doing that like behind the scenes. I really don't talk about it publicly like that. But, you know, certain things, I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes with companies and stuff. So hopefully we could continue with the show. It is crazy that it's been 19 years. It is insane. For podcasting at GTR. And also, actually, later this month, Pete, is going to be my 22nd or 23rd?
I thought it was 23rd. I saw your post online.
Is it 23rd? Yeah.
I think it's
23rd. Yeah, it's as a content creator. So, like, my first, you know, PSO radio show and all that stuff, that's crazy. I still have the cassette somewhere right here in the background, but yeah, it's just wild to me. Wow. But I think at the end of the day, man, it's all about having fun, and I'm having a lot of fun, especially, you know, debating and talking to, you know, with you guys about gaming and everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And this is the part where I want our listeners to send us questions, send us feedback. If there's stuff that you guys disagree, hit us up, send us questions, and we'll play on the show. As long as it's respectful, we'll play on the show and we'll have a discussion about it, man. Because I just love the whole family discussion. You know what I'm saying, Lee? Pete? So yeah, let's continue with the show. But first, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You can also hit us up if you would like to be part of our family discussion. Hit us up, fanmail at GamerTagRadio.com. And also SpeakPipe and all these other places. But I'm going to play the official promo. It's been a while. I'm not really used to this. It's been a couple months. So I'm going to play the audio right now.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So yeah, guys, you can find us everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, every other podcast out there, podcast app. But if you're listening through the Spotify podcast, every week I'm going to put up like a poll, or if you have comments and questions, you also could go through there in the app and send it to us, and I'll play it. And I'll put it up on our official Gamertag Radio page, and we'll have a discussion. So we don't have I think we have a question that I posted from the last episode. Let me go see what people have been voting from the last. Like, it's been a while. So the last poll I posted, and this was from episode 13-14, and the question that I posted is 2023 the best year in gaming. 21% say yes, Pete. Actually, wait, no, not 21%. 72.4%.
Read.
Say yes. Sorry. I read something else. And 27.6% said no. So I think the majority of people agree that last year was a pretty good year when it comes to releasing all these pretty cool games and everything, man. What do you think, Pete?
But not the greatest.
Not the greatest. Well, I think it is the greatest. But when it comes to like industry discussion, it's a totally different discussion. But when it comes to like as a consumer, as just a fan of games, it was technically the best year ever. That was like the most games, best games like reviewed was last year. So many good games like RPG, action, fighting games, everything. I think even from independent games, it was it was a good year. I think
no. It for me, I think it was finally a return to what we all want as gamers, right? Choice, options, selections, all three of the big, you know, all three of the big platforms having good releases, right? Almost every major developer, right? If we want to talk AAAs, most every developer publisher came out with something that stood out from, you know, whether it's Ubisoft to, you know, with the new Assassin's Creed, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I think it was a really solid year in gaming. Were there some duds? Were there some games that could have or should have done better, either based on expectation or just poor performance overall? Yes, and that's bound to happen. I don't think there's a, you know, I think there's no such thing as a perfect developer or perfect publisher, although there are some developer houses or some publishers that have done remarkably well. But, you know, even everybody's favorite right now, which is Insomniac, I know you will disagree, but they've had a dud, right? And, you know, we know which one that one is, and we know which one you're going to agree on or which one you're going to disagree on. But, you know, I was not a fan of what they delivered for Xbox, but when they came to when they got picked up from Sony, obviously we've seen what they've done with Spider-Man. We've now see what's coming up with one of the games that I'm looking forward to next, you know, this year, if it releases, you know, Wolverine. So
Well, that it's not this year. That's going to be
I know. It's still, but that's because we don't know.
Years.
I don't see. That's just because we don't know.
Hey, and first of all, Sunset Overdrive still my favorite game. Hey, we could talk about that behind the scenes.
It's okay to be wrong. It's all right.
It's not. So here's a couple of things I want to say. So recently, and I can't really talk much about it, but the only thing I can say is I've been playing The Last of Us 2 Remastered, which we're going to review that on the podcast very, very soon. And I'm also playing Prince of Persia game, Prince of Persia The Lost Crown, which also we're going to review that on the podcast. I think all of us are reviewing that game. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be on the next episode of GTR because the embargo is coming out later this week. And, you know, I think it will be a great time for us to talk about it next week. But stay tuned for that. Now, Pete, the games that I've been playing during the holidays, because I know we have a couple topics here that we're going to talk about. The first one is games that we've been playing during the holidays. So for me, I finished, and here's the thing. When you're a new parent with a newborn, it is difficult, like the first month or so, because you got to get used to like the schedule and everything like that. It was really hard for me to play certain games due to us, you know, being new parents. But you know the game that was easy for me to pick up and play, and I finally finished it during that time, was a Super Mario Brothers Wonder. It was easy for me to play on the go instead of playing on the TV and everything like that. Wow, what an amazing game. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, fantastic game. Fantastic game. Took me, I believe it was like less than 20 hours. I think it was like between 15 hours or so. But it was a great experience, man. Every level was totally different. Brand new music, the special effects, everything was just new. Amazing, amazing. So I was playing that a lot. Also, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3. I've been playing that a lot because I play a couple rounds online with friends and also with Rhee. And Halo Infinite, bro, I think 343, man, props to them. They made this game even better. We're adding new stuff in there. Like right now, they added a firefight. You could play recently. They just added the legendary mode of that one. Fantastic, fantastic mode. I remember that playing that back in the days, and they added it on this one. Also, they added a bunch of new gameplay modes in there. They added on the list. And the newest one is called Workshop, which is 8v8. Actually, we were playing that last night. Shout out to Phoenix, Fist Pump, and a couple other people that also part of the GTR community. We were playing for a couple hours. That was a lot of fun, man. So, yeah, you could play 8v8. So, hopefully, one of these days, I would like to play with our GTR members, go online and just play these games online and just experience it, man, you know? So, those are the three games, actually, that I've been playing a lot lately. And now, with the new games, which I'm going to be talking about that in the future, those are the games I've been playing. Now, for you, Pete, I know you have a crazy busy schedule. Mm-hmm. What games you were playing during the holiday break?
So, for me, it's, you know, I'm playing a redacted game that I can't talk about.
I think I know what it is, yeah. But I don't know.
I've been playing that. Playing the finals, yeah. Which finally dropped out of, you know, early access, right? It's fully released and it's a fun, you know, it's a fun shooter. As we talked about earlier, Prince of Persia, you know, from Ubisoft. So I've been playing that. And of course, I mean, it's no secret, just PUBG, just nonstop.
That never is going to die.
That will never die. That will never stop. That's basically what I've been playing nonstop for the holidays.
Oh, cool. Dope, man. So, yeah, guys, so whatever you guys are playing, let us know when you send us an email or you know, fan mail questions. I'm definitely very curious about that. Now, this year, Pete, a lot of great games coming out this year. Now, what is your most anticipating game of this year, 2024? Now, for me, it's Hellblade 2. I can't wait to play that later this year. Mm. How about you, man?
I have too many.
You have a lot?
I forgot to add one of the games that I played during the holiday break, which was Ready or Not. They finally went to 1.0, the full release of the game. they've done an amazing job just updating that game, the things you can do. Now you've got a full squad. Cause before it was, I mostly played with friends, but now, you're playing solo, you're managing the team, you're managing mental like impact of being a police officer in a shooter, mm-hmm. which you never see. Like you go into engagement, you clear a robbery and you do have to shoot, one of the thieves or whatever, or a robber, because your life was in danger. At the end, there's an after action report, and some of the members of your team could be impacted. So you have to like take them out and like start playing more non-lethal, so that people's mental space comes back up and they can be an effective member of the team. I never expected that to be added as part of the game, and I thought that was really interesting. So that was a lot of fun.
I gotta download that game because I've been hearing a lot of great things about it. It came out recently. Yeah,
yeah, it's a really well done game. It's been out for about 2 years now in early access and just coming out of just slow minor improvements, but now to see it like really like hitting its stride, it's been doing really well. As far as most anticipated game of 2024, I don't know if I can lock it down into one specific one. Replaced by Sidecat.
I forgot about Replaced. Oh yeah.
Oof. Wolf Among Us 2 from Telltale is another one. Hellblade 2, obviously, ever since going back, years ago when I got to interview Ninja Theory about the first one and to see the growth and expansion of how they've launched that whole universe. Amazing. Stalker 2 finally coming out from GSC Game World, I think is what they're called. Frostpunk 2. I'm super stoked for that one. Star Wars Outlaws from Massive. Little Nightmares 3 is on my radar big time. I really like the first two. I'm super stoked to see where they go with that one. I know, and I see it in the chat already, Hades 2 from Supergiant. The beta comes out, or the demo comes out first quarter of this year. I told y'all about this game years ago before you got all into it. I told y'all on this show.
Yeah, you did. Hades, I got into it late.
Looked at me like, who? And I was like,
really? I didn't say no. That was not
me,
bro. Yes,
y'all hadn't played it, and then y'all played it, and y'all was like, woo.
Well, so. I waited for the game to come on Game Pass, and I fell in love with it. That I bought the game multiple times on Steam. And also, I downloaded it through the Nintendo Switch and everything. Oh, that game is fantastic.
Yeah,
I can't wait for part two. Part two is dope. Part two is going to be dope. Those
are the games I'm looking forward to the most. Out of all of them, and we don't know what Hades 2 is going to launch at, like when it's going to actually launch, but to have that beta out in first quarter of this year, it has to be Hades 2 for me. Personally, just because I loved Hades, the first one, so much. And I know I mentioned Wolverine earlier on last, at the show, but I know it's likely not going to come out. We don't know. But as a comic book fan, as the super nerd, I'm super stoked to see that coming out, just to get more information on it.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I know we love Hades so much that I actually bought the vinyl of the soundtrack. And I surprised Rhi, my wife. I bought her also a vinyl of that soundtrack. The soundtrack is fantastic. We were even driving far away, different places, road trips, listen to the soundtrack. One of the best soundtracks, man. So, all right. So let's go with some rumors here, Pete. Some rumors. Now, shout out to Tom Warren, Jez, Windows Central. Tom works at The Verge. There's a couple of the places that I've been. Also, Kevin from Gold Nintendo. I've been seeing all kinds of rumors of stuff that's been happening here. So here's the thing. Oh, and before I say anything, because I know there's going to be a discussion about like what is the difference between. And I'm not going to go too far in, but the controversial thing about leaks and rumors, stuff like that. So I know I'm just going to make it short, but there was a leak that happened with Insomniac a couple weeks ago. where the conversation that I was seeing from people were like, hey, you know, should people report it or not? I think it's up to the outlet if they want to do that or not, right? But the part where I felt uncomfortable was what happened with the studio and how there was like a lot of personal information out there that I just didn't agree with having that conversation. I just didn't feel comfortable about it. But when it comes to like rumors and stuff like that, I think it's okay to talk about it. Look, and everybody's going to be talking about it eventually, you know, with everything. Now, one thing that I never do this. I never post or information about games, story, stuff like that, that's going to mess up our experience when we play. I don't do that either. So just want to put it out there just in case people bring it up and everything. But the rumor that's been going around, which I've been hearing about this back in October, September, around there, you know, behind the scenes, I heard something that might happen or not. I wasn't 100% sure. But it looks like we might see another Xbox Developer Direct sometime this month. And the reason why it makes sense, because last year, it was exactly around this time they had one last year. And honestly, that was one of the best presentations I ever seen from Microsoft besides the showcase. Because, you know, usually they had a Inside Xbox video every few months or so back years ago. But this one was really, really good. And this is where they also announced Hi-Fi Rush. It was like a shadow drop, surprised everyone. One of the best games that came out last year, too. So we are going to get to see that hopefully soon. Hopefully we'll get to hear about it. So, but the other rumor is there might be a game from Microsoft that might also go multi-platform. I'm not going to say the game because I think that will spoil the experience, but it looks like we might see that in the future. Here's a theory, my theory, Pete. I know I'm a fan of Nintendo Direct, right? So usually when there's like a game that's coming out there that's like multi-platform, right, that came out first on Xbox and now it's going to go, let's say, on the Switch, we usually will get to see the announcement of that during the Nintendo Direct. Or if there is a PlayStation event where they also show an announcement there, it is possible we might see it there too, man. Like from like making official, like Xbox releasing these games multi-platform. Now, the reason why I bring that up is I've been seeing discussions of people saying, is it smart for Xbox releasing some of their games as a multi-platform thing, similar to like Ori, Minecraft, now Call of Duty in the future and all that stuff, right? I think in certain cases, it makes a lot of sense to do that. And the reason is, I think that will bring a lot of people more into the Xbox platform if they do enjoy that game. So, like, for example, you know, releasing Banjo on Smash makes sense. Microsoft owns the IP, have the character available there, have also Banjo on the original game from the Nintendo 64, have that available on the Nintendo Switch and everything, right? The reason is because that is going to get a lot of people to be, you know, to get into the Xbox platform, because now in the future, if Microsoft releases that game mm-hmm. that's only exclusive for the platform, a lot of people that played Banjo back in the days, now this will be an opportunity to play this on Xbox, console, PC, or maybe through the cloud and stuff like that. So that's how I see it. People will see it as, that's not good, that's losing a lot of the exclusives. I don't see it like that at all. I think this is like a good thing for certain games that makes sense, you know. So what are your thoughts about that, about the Xbox Developer Direct? Do you think it makes sense to release this during this time? And also a game, you know, going multi-platform from Xbox, do you think that makes sense too?
Look, and I'm just going to say it because they've already said something on socials. It's from Double Fine, right? It's just a matter of...
From Double Fine?
Yeah. That's what I think.
Wait.
That's what I think. Okay, so...
Okay. Yeah, so, okay. That's what you think. Okay.
Yeah. So that's
what you're talking about. Psychonauts? Psychonauts 2?
Hey, look, man, it could be Brutal Legend 2. I don't know, but I'm just saying that's Double Fine has already been out on Twitter saying, and I refuse to call it X. So I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter. I don't care what everybody says. It's the, you know, they said it's the new year. I've been in meetings. I got a COVID shot. I'm drinking tons of water, and Double Fine is making games. When the actual account says that, it's whatever they're going to, I'm thinking that's what they're going to release. Right. And I think what we've seen from, you know, everybody talking about this new developer direct, it's Senua's Saga and Towerborn are going to be the games that they focus on, or at least offer updates on, because those are the big ones, especially Hellblade 2. Those are the bigger ones coming out this year. But hey, I know Psychonauts 2 just came out in 21. Is it a little too early for another Double Fine, for another Psychonauts? I'm not going to say no, because I've always been a fan of the series. But if you go look at some of the other stuff that they have, I mean, outside of a new Full Throttle, a Grim Fandango, I don't, you know, there's not much. So unless they come out with something super hard, maybe it's a Psychonauts 3. But I'm not going to say I'm disappointed in that. They can announce it, and it takes another year or two to come out, and then boom, we've got a new Psychonauts. But I'm reading the tweet,
but that wasn't one of the games I was talking about, but it's okay. I didn't know about this, that they posted this. Actually, they posted this 3 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Was okay. It November, okay. January 3rd. So
I had no idea that they posted that, but that wasn't what I was talking about, but just putting it out there. But there is a game that came out from Xbox that it looks like it might go multi-platform for the first time.
I'll just leave it as that. Okay, and that's cool. Look, you have to try to touch every part of the segment. Some games maybe they stay single player because they're just not there. It doesn't make sense. But you know, I'm not averse to Xbox testing the waters, making a change, seeing what works, and experimenting, because that's the only way that they're going to grow. Whether it's Sony or Nintendo or Xbox, nobody is perfect. I've said this on the show. Yeah. I've said it when we've done speaking engagements in the past. It's fine. You can make mistakes, but you have to experiment, because that's the only way you're going to improve. That's the only way you're going to learn what works, what doesn't work. Hey, Nintendo tried it with the little robot. They tried it with the glove. It wasn't successful, but you know. Sega's tried it with the Sega CD and things like that nature. You know, obviously Microsoft has had its fumbles with the Kinect being bundled in, but I love the Kinect. So don't get me wrong. Everybody has tried, everybody has failed, but that's how they improve and figure out what works, what the public really wants, what the public doesn't like. And they move on from there. So I'm okay with it. I'm interested to hear, and maybe, you know, maybe we talk about it after the show, of who you think is going to be, I don't know,
I could tell you after the show. I just don't want to say it because I don't want to like mess those.
That's fine. But I'd like to hear. I'd like to hear from the audience,
the fans. Oh, they probably seen it.
That's fine. But I'd like to hear what they think. You know, what do you think is potentially coming up, or what could be discussed at this developer direct coming up later this month?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, something I could bring up. That it's a next gen hardware, Pete, that just recently came out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's an Xbox Series S toaster.
I can't believe you bought that, dude. I can't believe your wife allowed you to buy that.
Let me tell you. I saw it right on Twitter, and I showed it to Ree, and Ree was like, I think we should buy it. I'm like, let's buy it. I didn't know this thing was gonna be that big. It's pretty big. It's bigger than the Xbox Series S. So, for those that don't know, this is only exclusively you could buy through Walmart on the Walmart website. And in there, you could toast, right? Regular bread. You could defrost, and also bagels. But every time you toast it, it has the Xbox logo in there. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. So I bought it and I posted a video. It has like 150,000 views, I think, right now. on Twitter, but it is pretty cool. It has also a countdown feed, depending how, you know, how much you wanted to cook the toasted the bread and everything. So they'll show like a little countdown and everything like that. And then it's pretty cool. I think it's awesome. It has the same design as the Xbox Series S. The only difference is this thing is big. Oh my God, it's pretty huge, man. So, but hey, look, I think this is pretty cool because Xbox is trying to do something new where people will see it, it'll trend, all this stuff. And it's cool.
I'm surprised it doesn't have like a little Xbox, like, well, it's like when your toast is ready. You know what?
I thought, honestly, at first when I tested it out, I was like, oh man, you're probably gonna, you turn it on, it's probably gonna go whoom, but it doesn't do that at all. It's a regular toaster, but it's cool. I think it's really, really awesome. Really, really awesome. I did like an unboxing and I tested it with just regular bread put in there and it was cool. It was awesome. Now, is it groundbreaking or anything? No, but it's something
different.
4K, 120 FPS,
8 teraflops, all the teraflops, hey, look, on my toasters.
I gotta send love to the marketing team. Yo, they're coming up with the most random things, like yo, the fridge, toaster, all kinds of things. Like what was it? I was having this conversation. I think it was either with Paris or Ree. I was like, are they doing too much? Are they doing like way too much with all these marketing stuff? But hey, Nintendo's not doing it. PlayStation, hey, you know what? Do what you gotta do, man. It's awesome. It's different. It's different. So I just want to say that. Wait, is it the? Oh yeah, the pillow. There's also an Xbox Series S pillow. See, that one we don't got, but just want to say that. All right. So next hardware we're gonna talk about, and this is, I think, a great conversation, Pete, that we could have, because we both have the Nintendo Switch. I have OLED. Do you have the OLED?
No, I've got the original.
You don't? The original? Yeah. Okay. I still have the original OLED. We also have the one that's just a handheld, and I forgot I think it's Lite. Switch Lite, I think it's called.
But, I forgot about that for some reason.
Yeah. Ree has that one. So so it looks like, and this is predictions, rumors, it's not 100% out there yet, but it looks like we're gonna see a new hardware from Nintendo later this year. But the only thing is we still haven't seen any announcements or anything like that, but it looks like they're gonna keep the same formula where on the go you can play on the TV, some, like, instead of having something totally new like they've done in the past. And it looks like, of course, it's going to be more powerful. It might cost around $400. And it looks like we also could still play all the games that we downloaded from the original Switch and Switch OLED, Switch Lite. You can still play those and re-download them on the new device, which that's something that Nintendo's always been lacking when it comes to that, where I have games on my Wii U, I can't re-download it on the Switch, which is ridiculous, you know? So, but it looks like they're going to make some changes on that. And that's about it so far. I think that's a great thing. Instead of confusing the consumer, just release something that still works, man, and it's still selling. I think this is a great idea, in my opinion, to have it as like close enough, similar to the Switch, mm-hmm. And same design, formula, all that stuff. And then have all those games that you downloaded before, you can still play it on the Switch too. Now, for example, let's say there is a new Mario game, right? Are we going to see the Mario game also on the Switch and also on the Switch Pro or Switch 2, whatever you want to call it? Or release it only on the Switch 2? Now, the reason why I think we might see both is because, one, there's so many units still out there in the world of the Switch. I think it's like over 100 million, something like that. So it makes sense to release it also on that one, but also have a similar version on the new platform, the new console, but have it, you know, more, the graphics are going to look a lot better. It's going to be faster, frame per second, something like that, you know. There's going to be a lot better than the original. We got to see something similar when Zelda came out for the Wii U and also for the Switch. Mm-hmm. The majority of people, of course, bought it for the Switch, and it was a huge success. It wasn't nothing like a failure or anything like that, you know. So I want to hear your thoughts about this. I think it will be great to release it for both, and I can't wait to learn more about the console later this year. And yeah, just want to hear your thoughts. And also for everybody who's listening, send us your comments and questions about this new console. Go for it, Beep.
So I'm not surprised, right? I mean, the original Switch came out 2017 at about $300. OLED came out 2021. I think the Lite came out at or around the pandemic. So I think it was like 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, because it was Nook. It was Nook season. And with a market now featuring Valve Steam Deck, the Asus ROG Ally, I think, in my opinion, Nintendo is going to go a safer route with the Switch 2 and not do something like groundbreaking with the technology. I don't think it makes sense for them to do it. We know Nintendo is extremely safe in that regard. They try not to come out with that groundbreaking stuff when everybody else mm-hmm. is doing it, because it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. It'll sell more than everybody else's just because it's Nintendo and we're all, you know, drinking from the same tap at that point. But I don't think they do a groundbreaking version 3 until they've had an honest chance to evaluate competition, figure out, because I know Valve is already talking about Steam Deck 2.0, the second, you know, iteration of theirs. ROG is out, Logitech G Cloud is out, you know, there's all these other handhelds, and Nintendo, in my opinion, I think, is just going to sit back and say, okay, they did that. Mm-hmm. We know that they're, you know, us as gamers, we want them to sit there and get into the competition of teraflops and FPS and 4K, 8K, 26K, whatever, 43K. They're not going to do that. We know that, right? They're going to sit back. They're going to find out the best technology to make sure that their product, their games are played ideally in their universe or their ecosystem. They're going to take a step back. I don't think whatever comes out in this new Switch, It'll probably have a little bit better improvement in graphics, battery life, obviously, because that's what everybody ever wants from a handheld. But I think they're going to take the safe route. I don't think they're going to come in and try to say, okay, we're finally doing 4K in a handheld. And now they're going to make sure that the hardware is good for the next 2 to 3 years, which gives them and their development tech team more than enough time to just evaluate the landscape and then say, okay, now here you go. Here's the new groundbreaking Nintendo tech that we drop every X number of years, every 7 to 10 years. We're not gonna flood the market with hardware that competes with what they're already selling super well on. Right? Was it 11 million last year or something like that in product?
Actually, let me see what's the sales now.
Because they just made an announcement just a few weeks ago, like of Switch sale numbers from last year. Trying to remember.
Oof. You want to hear the numbers? As of September 2023, 132 million. So look, man. Units. 132 million units. They don't care about power, anything like that. Whatever is working for the average consumer, that's it. That's all it matters, man. People are still buying it. But that's it. I'll give you some predictions, Pete, if you want. I think with this new console, we're going to see Call of Duty finally back on here, the Nintendo, like the new console. Because the last time that we got to see a Call of Duty game, this is during the Wii U days. And it was great. I had a great time. It worked well. But I think because of Microsoft not owning the, you know, Activision and Blizzard, we're going to see that available on the new console this year, I think, if the console releases this year. Also, this is another thing where next year, a lot of people don't know about this, next year is the 40th anniversary of Mario, Mario Brothers. It came out 40 years ago, back in 1985. Are we going to get to see a new Mario game either for launch now or next year? I think that makes sense. You know, here's the thing. We haven't seen a Mario Brothers launching with the console. And it's, I think, since like what? Nintendo 64? We haven't seen that in years. So now, because of the movie came out and it was a huge success, that will be a great opportunity for Nintendo to release a Mario game with this console. And even the person that loves Mario and they love the movie, they'll buy the console and they will sell even more. I think that's something that will work for the company, I think.
I think another thing that we should also consider is the hardware tech in the Switch, right? We know it's an NVIDIA Tegra processor, right? So why not? And I believe he mentioned in his speech or his talk that they're considering, or we know that they've been deliberating DLSS. We know that that's the big thing that NVIDIA has been targeting. Mm-hmm. So if they do something groundbreaking for this hardware, not on this next iteration, but it gives them time to develop. Can you imagine how games will look on a Switch if they leverage DLSS on a mobile platform and be able to give you those Cyberpunk 2077 style graphics that we're seeing now? You know, we're seeing the graphics that we're, you know, the high level of graphics that we're seeing in games now, but on a Nintendo handheld, using DLSS on a Switch. I think when you start to look at what NVIDIA has been doing in the back end with their hardware, knowing what we can do on these little phones, right? Which is basically bigger than my phone, you know, the screen on my phone anyways. That's when you really start to see the technology taking those next step leaps. And I think that's why I think in that regard, Nintendo holds back now and says, okay, Steam Deck, Ally, all y'all players in the handheld game, enjoy yourselves now. Enjoy everybody buying and taking advantage of being able to play Diablo or what have you on your handhelds. Give us another year or two. Then they're going to wow us and they're going to be like, okay, here's the new Super Switch or the Switch Super, like, you know, the Nintendo Super, whatever. Boom. Here's the Switch Super featuring NVIDIA's DLSS technology. Take advantage of playing CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk 2077 on the Switch on the go instead of playing it at 40 FPS on a Steam Deck that can't handle it, right? For an hour on a dead battery. That's when you start to see the boom. And then if you want, connect it to the dock and play it in 4K or 8K on your monitor if it can support it. That's when you start to see that groundbreaking leap that changes the game for the handheld and or Nintendo by proxy. And that's when everybody's like, oh, damn it, here we go again. Now we got everybody back to the drawing board. Let's start creating new things and let's see what we can try and figure out now to do for the next thing. So I think that's what Nintendo does. I think they play the safe. I think, like I said earlier, they play safe. They go, we're just going to give you a minor quality of life improvement, better battery, maybe a better screen, but expect the same 1080p 60 experience on when you connect it to the dock and the same 720 on the Switch when you're in handheld mode. And then the next one comes out. And I think they feature DLSS as the major technology on the Tegra chip.
And please, Nintendo, remove this Nintendo voice app. It is garbage. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Please. I want to have normal. Hey, I could connect my headset, Bluetooth or whatever to the device and just play like that with friends. That's it. I don't need this whole, here, get the app on your mobile phone, connect. It's just too complicated. And look, the majority of people don't use that. When you play a game like Fortnite, you could still connect the headset on your device and it still works like that without that Nintendo app.
Okay, and
I just want to say that. Make Nintendo Switch better. Nintendo Switch Online better. That's all.
I think, and I think I'm probably, I may not be in the minority here.
Mm-hmm.
But can we please get a default setting for these four buttons?
Okay. But please. Time out. No, I have to bring this up, Pete. You talk about the buttons?
I want the A, okay. B, X, Y all in the same okay. order on regardless of the controller that I'm on.
Okay.
Why can't they do that?
Here's the thing, Pete. Nintendo was the first company that to come up with that design. The Y, X, B, A back in the Super Nintendo days. They still have that format to this day. They have never changed it. Other companies copy and they just change the letters around. That's the difference. So this is still the same from back in the days. So I get it. You're an Xbox guy. You like that controller. I get it. But Nintendo was the first company to come up with, man. So that was the original letters from back in the days. Just want to bring that up.
That's fine. But that doesn't mean it's the right format. I prefer the Xbox layout on the controller, and I don't want to go and sit there and try to remap. Maybe that's something they provide on the new Switch Super that they're going to come out with in a few years. DLSS and button remapping. Hey, I can ask. Let me ask. I can put forth my requests in a manner like this, in a very professional tone, and request it. Mm-hmm. Give me button mapping. Give me DLSS.
Yeah, I'll let you dream. By the way, one last thing, and this is from Game Rant. It looks like, for those who don't know, a lot of companies that do mock reviews for games, behind the scenes to see, is the game a good or not? You know, they'll get people to do mock reviews for certain games. And it looks like Xbox has been doing mock reviews for Hellblade 2 just to see feedback, predictions, what this game might get in the future once it releases. And it looks like it's getting a lot of positive reviews, Pete, behind the scenes. It's not like out to the public or anything like that. And this is just a rumor from, and I'm reading this from GameRant.com. It says, Xbox internal reviews of Hellblade are highly positive, with the game scoring in the 90s in mock reviews. Now, if this is something that's 100% accurate, sometimes companies might have mock reviews behind the scenes, right? Internal with their team and all that stuff with other people. And it's probably different. Most of the time it's different than when it goes live out to the public. So I don't know. The game looks fantastic. This is one of my most anticipated game of this year, Hellblade 2. I think it's going to be good, man. Remember, this is the first game that we got to hear as soon as we got to see the announcement of the Xbox Series X back in 2019. And now we're in 2024. We still haven't seen this game, but it's coming out this year, officially this year. So, Pete, do you think this game prediction is going to be in the 90s? Yes or no?
I have a problem with using your internal mock reviews as expectations. And look, they should be high on, they should have high hopes for the game. If anything, Hellblade 2 is going to be your most anticipated release in 2024.
Mm. Oh yeah, 100%.
But then 100%. Again, they said the same thing about Redfall, and what happened there?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes, but here's the thing. When I say internal, it's not like the studio works in the game and then they'll have somebody else from the studio to review it. No, it's not. That's not how it works. They usually will get, they will hire other people that are like journalists, stuff like that, and they will work on that, you know, stuff like that. So,
look, mock review.
But it's not it's not 100%. It could be right or it could be wrong, but I'm confident that the game. It looks good. So I'm confident that the game is going to get positive reviews. Like, I really enjoyed Starfield, right? But there's other sites that didn't agree with.
Yeah, but that we're talking internal reviews and expectation. When you do a mock review, or we call it dog food in the tech industry, it doesn't always accurately represent the public or what the actual critical reception is going to be. So you end up having false expectations based on internal yes people, unfortunately. Not to say that this is the case. It seems like that was what happened with Redfall. It had a lot of people saying, oh, this game looks great. This game is playing great. This game is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it only fell into what the internal people said, right? Or maybe a handful of Xbox associated reviewers or internal, you know, or contacts, right? Not to say it isn't. We don't know. We haven't played it.
We don't know. This is all conversation.
We're only going by what we see at E3 or at the Game Awards or at you know, Tokyo Game Fest or the anticipated
Game Fest. The hell is Game
Fest? Tokyo Game, whatever. Tokyo
Game Show. Game Show.
Whatever.
Game Fest.
Game Fest. TGF. And what we're going to see at the end of the month on this potential developer direct. That may or may not happen. It's a rumor. We don't know if it's going to happen, but if it does, they're going to talk about it, but none of us have played it. But when you have your internal team or teams testing it and giving you feedback, you're limiting the true public perception, but you're also heaping, especially when you talk about it like this and you start putting it, oh, you know, Microsoft and, you know, Phil Spencer, we love you, Phil. We love you, Microsoft. But you have to hype up your product. So when you have people saying, yeah, we've been testing it and it's in the high 90s. Have you given it to people that are outside of the Microsoft sphere or the Xbox
sphere? We don't know.
I could be talking outside of my neck. I have no clue because I'm not part of this. They haven't, but hey, I'm happy to test it if y'all want to send it to me. You have to put some kind of a rein on the expectations, because when you start sipping your own, when you start drinking your Kool-Aid, you start smelling yourself and it smells really good, not everybody's going to have that same thing. So now when you put all this hyped up expectation and it doesn't do as well, like we saw what happened with Redfield and we saw what happened, or Redfall, and we
Redfall.
Saw and we saw what happened with Forsaken, then all of a sudden all that negativity comes dropping in. So I have high hopes for it. I think Ninja Theory is a great developer. I think they can do a great job. We saw that they even went so far as to go pull, you know, everything back and say, you know, we're just going to go all in on Unity 5 instead of going with Unity 4 as a development engine. Let's rein back the expectations now, because when you put things like this, and yes, they have to say it's gonna be great. They have to say it's because they've got to answer to shareholders at the end of the day. So they have to they have to make sure that their jobs are secure. So they have to have the hype. Wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing ads on you know, whether it's YouTube or Twitch, or when you see the next UFC and you've got Hellblade 2 emblazoned all over the ring. You have to have those, but just temper expectations because they said internally that it's scoring high 90s. They have to say that.
We'll see. That's how I see it. We'll see. I'm excited, though. I love Ninja Theory. Love the first game. Can't wait to play this one. I'll leave it as that. Now, Pete, it's time for fan mail. Again, we only have one question because it's been, you know, holidays. We haven't been around. So please, listeners, people watching this on Twitch, send us your questions, because this will be part of the show. Plus, you will be on the show. So you send it, we'll play it or read it, and we'll have discussions. Sometimes we even have debates because of the questions that comes up from our listeners, from the fans. So here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
I don't have to go explore, so I can't do that anymore.
I know. It's all good.
All right.
I like this production, P. I like this switching cameras.
It's a work in progress. All right. I'm still trying to.
It's a work in progress. Yeah. Sometimes I see my face while you're talking, I'm like, this
is not
Pete.
Yeah, I know. But it's all good. And look, shout out to Arctic. He tried to help. But like, hey, look, I'm still trying to figure out how to automate that whole part so I don't have to do it because I'm not the greatest multitasker, but it's a work in progress. New year.
It's all good.
Same old podcast.
Yeah. It's like, think of it like this, guys. It's like P, when we're introducing P, you're like, all right, P, welcome to the show. And you don't hear anything because P is muted. On mute. It's something like that. Something similar.
Same show, same podcast, same failure.
Same show. Yeah, exactly.
All right, here we go.
Exactly. All right.
Hey, Gamertag, it is Willie Canuck here. How you doing? I just want to talk quickly about the nominations for the Video Game Awards, or the Game Awards, whatever they're called now. So I'm trying not to fanboy here, but if there's one thing that I said Starfield had a chance in winning, it was for soundtrack. I mean, I think Edan Zura's done an amazing job. How shocked was I to find out they weren't even nominated? Now, I think maybe you might have a bit of insight. Am I being biased in thinking that? I don't know. I think it's an incredible soundtrack. I would have thought at the very least, not necessarily win, but surely to be nominated for best soundtrack. Never expected to be game of the year, or possibly I could see it was nominated for RPG of the year, but definitely the soundtrack. I think it's a huge snub to Edan Zura. Love to know your thoughts. And if I'm being biased, I apologize.
Nope. All right, Pete, can I answer that question?
Yeah, go ahead. I've got an answer too. So I've been.
Yeah. So, and for those who don't know, we have been part of the jurors to nominate for the Game Awards now for the past couple of years now. So when we're part of this, right? Everybody, I think there's like IGN, Giant Bomb, there's like a bunch of other outlets, right? We're not allowed to say who we voted. That's one. We gotta say that very quick. We're not allowed to talk about anything like that. The only thing we can say is we were part of it. So that's one. Another thing is when we vote, let's say I have a discussion with P in Paris and we will put up there from our opinion from Gamertag Radio of games that we feel is best soundtrack, best this, best that, right? Game of the year, etc. And we submit it, but we don't know what other people are voting from a lot of outlets. That's like something that is the beauty about the process, because everybody's going to have different opinions, and depending on the number of outlets that voted for those games, then it will be nominated for the Game Awards. Now, here's the tricky part. Sometimes there's outlets that are probably totally different than the ones from the States, because this is a worldwide jurors that are part of this. So in Latin America and Europe, ours is very, very different when it comes to nominations than the outlets in here in the United States. So we're not going to know who's going to get nominated until when it goes live, you know? So now I agree that Starfield has an amazing soundtrack. I think it's very great. I think I went to a show last year during the summer, I believe, where it was the Game Awards 10th anniversary, and they had it at the Hollywood Bowl last year, and it was fantastic. They had Starfield, they had Spider-Man, they had like a bunch of other games there. Here's the thing: last year there was so many great games, and so many of those games have an amazing soundtrack. It is kind of hard to pick who was going to be nominated, man. It's really, really hard. Again, people are going to have different opinions and all that stuff. It is hard. So it's not a conspiracy or anything like that. You know, I just want to explain, because I think a lot of people don't know the process of how the voting works, you know. And also, at the end of the day, once these games are nominated and it's already on the site, not only we're also going to be part of it to vote again for the ones that are nominated, but also the viewers, the fans, you also going to vote on the official website. And that also helps the votes on a game that's going to win on that category. So I just want to say that very quick. Pete, your thoughts about the Starfield soundtrack not getting nominated?
Where do I start? So I'm shocked. I don't know. I don't know if I'm shocked that he wasn't picked. Enon Zur is potentially, you could consider him a legend in the industry, right? When you've mm-hmm. scored games like Fallout New Vegas 76 and Fallout 4, Prince of Persia, the original one, I believe, mm-hmm. And the Dragon Age series, when you have games like that, you're I don't want to say you could potentially put him as a Mount Rushmore of producers in the gaming industry for mm-hmm. soundtracks and stuff like that. But consider also the nominees that he was going up against. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, with Final Fantasy mm-hmm. ultimately winning the crown. Like Danny said, you know, we're fortunate enough to be part of a judging panel that undergoes multiple steps of voting. Mm-hmm. And we can't tell you who we voted for. We all have our biases. Mm-hmm. The calls that me, Danny, and Paris are on.
Oh, it's debates. It's
we're
debates.
Going back and forth with like, okay, we're saying this, but you know, I'm saying this, and it's literally like you got to verbally beat down the next person just to get your vote up higher in the ranking. So internally, we're ranking them and then going back and forth to you know the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zur himself is a legend, like I said. And I understand the bias. I have a similar bias when you're watching, like for movies, for me, it's Graham Revell and Danny Elfman. In the game industry, you have people like Marty O'Donnell, Jesper Kidd, you know, that are considered masters of their craft in the same vein that Enon Zur is, right? And now you've got, really think about it, now you've got like hip hop producers jumping into scoring, whether it's for games or for movies. Obviously, you've got the RZA with Kill Bill Volume 1. You've got Flying Lotus, who is known for being the producer for Mac Miller and Kendrick. He did the Swimming album. He did Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. And then he just did Yasuke, which is an anime that just came out. And then you've got Ludwig Göransson, I think is his last name. He's the producer for Childish Gambino, right? He did Tenet, Black Panther, and he just scored The Mandalorian, right? So you've got those new influences starting to creep in. That's where you're going up against. All this to say, Enon Zur is a legend in the industry, but you're going up against other greats. And there's others for those other games that just came out this year that were in the nomination that did better mm-hmm. based on a large panel. It wasn't three people sitting there. It wasn't me, Danny, and Paris on the voting panel.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not.
So, like, I could understand, you know, if it was on us, fine. Sorry, but it wasn't. There are hundreds of votes that come in that are tallied up and then going up against multiple tiers of votes across the industry. Great soundtrack, but unfortunately it didn't fall. And it might, again, I understand the argument based on Enon Zur's catalog of great soundtracks. Mm-hmm. It just didn't hit this year, unfortunately. And you know, maybe there is bias on your side. For me, I understand it, but I didn't agree with it. So I would like to see other producers. I'd love to see someone. I know the name is probably a little more shocking, but I would love to see a producer on the vein of maybe like a Kanye getting in there and doing something. I'd love to see someone like Black Milk or something like that. God rest his soul. I wish Jay Dilla was still around. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I had to point up because his album's right there. And actually, I just bought a new album when I went to Florence last year on Dillatronic. Mm. I would love to see more producers get into the game because a lot of the older producers, the Enon Zurs, the Marty O'Donnells, Danny Elfman, the Graham Revells, they're all getting on in age. So I think if we had newer producers coming in to do things, hell, give me 40. Drake's producer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get him in there and start to, you know, score video games. I'd love to see because I think those influences, because they all pull from the 50s and 60s anyways, right? When they do their samplings. So I'd love to see them pull all of those and bring them in to video games and give us that cool feeling. So all that to say, you know, sorry that Enon Zur didn't do it, but there are other, you know, hundreds of other producers in the industry that deserve just as much accolade, sometimes maybe even more because it did an amazing job. Yeah, so I think. Sorry, you didn't.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Now I'm looking for something over here. So, so last year, actually, no, this was in November of 2022, almost 2 years ago. But when I used to work at G4, actually, I worked with Zur. I got him to come to the studio to do an interview and to talk about working on the soundtrack, the Starfield soundtrack. And this is the time where there wasn't that many information out there about Starfield. And this was like was the first time where he actually talked about it on X-Play. So I made that happen. I booked it, got him in. Really, really cool person. I got to meet him and the team. And the interview never got released. Originally never got released on X-Play because G4 got shut down, all this stuff, right? So I got the original audio and I played the original audio unedited. And shout out to Emily. She was the one that sat down with him because she's a huge Starfield fan. Like anything Bethesda, Fallout, all that, she's huge with that. And he worked on Fallout. So we did the interview. I released it exclusively on GTR. You could go right now and listen to it on episode 1231. That's Gamer Talk Radio episode 1231. And it was a great, great conversation. And here's what happened. So I released that audio, the interview, and it also got picked up by a lot of the major media because there was no information out there about Starfield. This was like the first time that people start hearing about the soundtrack, how Zur got involved with the project and all that stuff. So I highly recommend, and for you, the caller, thank you for calling, by the way.
Really?
Highly recommend for you to listen to that interview. Go to episode 1231 of Gamer Tag Radio and is there and then play it. It's fantastic, fantastic, fantastic interview. So anything else? I think that's about it.
I think we ran the full gamut of topics today's show.
Yeah. Look at that. We went over an hour. Yeah. That shout out to Keon. That's for you.
And shout out to Paris who couldn't make it because he's feeling sick. He's not doing well. So
Well
wishes he'll be to back. Our brother. We'll know he'll be back. So everybody that's watching on Twitch and those of you that are listening on the podcast, send us some well wishes as well.
Yeah, shout out to Paris. Get well soon. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to our first episode of 2024, 19th season of Gamer Tag Radio. Episode 1321. It's Danny and also Pete. Thank you for listening. Until next time. We'll be here next week with our Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown review. And in the future, we'll have our The Last of Us 2 remastered review. And I have a couple surprises later this month. I can't say what it is, but be on the lookout. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic stuff. I love surprises. I love surprises. Just want to put it out there. All right. Until next time. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.